Okay, let's begin our devotional for this afternoon, and we're going to start by singing hymn number 3, Come to Me, and we're going to be led in opening prayer by our brother John Gadelis. Hymn number 3, and the words will be on the screen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy most holy name. We enter thy hallowed courts at this time, thanking thee for the opportunity that we have of being able to set aside the world and its cares, to gain an understanding of thy plan. We thank thee, Father, for thy watchfulness and for the increase of knowledge that we are able to have these virtual meetings. We come upon thy promise that wherever two or three are gathered, that thou wilt be in their midst. We ask, Father, that thou wilt bless Brother Brett as he brings from thy storehouse blessings and the thoughts that we will learn, that we'll be able to use in the upcoming days and weeks and months ahead, that we would be good ambassadors of thy Son to bring honor and glory to thy most holy name. Father, we are mindful of all thy children the world over, those who are isolated, those who are in beds of sickness, those who are going through severe trials and difficulties, those that are lonely. Be with all of them, Father. Strengthen them. And grant unto them the peace which only thou canst give and hast promised. All these things we ask and thank thee. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother John. Well, dear brethren, the transition from the month of September to October seems to go quickly on most calendars. In typical years here in the United States, school has started, the nights get cooler, and summer fades into fall. The traffic seems a little heavier. The time seems to fly, as many people are back at it, and their vacation memories dissolved into the grind of the everyday. Perhaps things aren't quite the same in 2020 as in a typical year, but still, you can feel it, can't you? Some sense of returning to normalcy, some sense of the hectic pace of the past, even as we feel the four winds start to blow stronger in these most uncertain of times. The change from summer to autumn likewise goes quickly. One of the few noteworthy things about this time of year is the beauty of the leaves as they start their transition to amazing hues of yellows, oranges, and reds. I've been personally blessed, as I'm sure each of us has, to be able to walk in nature and to see what God has prepared for man. I've been personally blessed as well to be able to capture on camera some of these amazing fall colors and sights and to share their beauty with you this afternoon. In the Jewish calendar, the autumn also marks the end of the year. The Jews celebrated, as we read in Exodus 23:16, the feast of the ingathering, in the outgoing of the year, in thy gathering thy works out of the field. This feast, of course, represented the abundance of the harvest. Also known in Leviticus as the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, this is a time of double thanksgiving, one for the blessing of the fruitful harvest, and the second for the blessing the Israelites received of passing from the wilderness into the land of Canaan. It also corresponds to the Jewish New Year. This makes our American Thanksgiving pale in comparison, does it not? And as the Jews are especially thankful at this time of year, as Christians, we have learned that the attitude of thankfulness is one that we should cultivate at all times. We read in Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. We are here commended to be dedicated to prayer, that is, to be diligent, to persevere in prayer, to be full of gratitude with thankful language to God. This time of year is also associated with the true anniversary of our Lord Jesus' birth. Now, for this, how much more thankful can we be? Let's lift up our voices in thanksgiving by singing hymn 219, Render Thanks to God. Tradition tells us that much of the Old Testament was recited to song, perhaps none more appropriately than those passages that were written and intended as such, the Psalms. Many of these, of course, are praises and prayers to the Heavenly Father. The 92nd Psalm is a beautiful song of thanksgiving. Sister Tamara Blackwell will read the first five verses for us.
A psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep.
Thank you, Sister Tamara. The Canadian composer Cyril Irving Glick put this psalm to music with the help of the Elektra Women's Choir. The conductor notes read, Psalm 92 can be used as a processional. It opens with seven sopranos who symbolize the 7 days of creation on a slow, fairly high unison line, answered by the rest of the choir, repeated as many times as necessary to move the sopranos to the front of the performing space. From there, the piece is in unison and two-part writing in a comfortable range, mostly in Hebrew, but with a short section in English.
Thank you.
Wasn't that incredible? Glick said of himself, being a religious and spiritually oriented person, setting the Psalms has always been a special joy for me. Indeed, we too should be filled with joy and thankfulness as we listen and we consider how beautifully David praised Jehovah. Being thankful is a necessary part of following in the footsteps of Christ, let alone even being forgiven for sins. Our Lord carefully points this out to us in Luke 17. We'll read starting in verse 15, just after Jesus has healed the 10 lepers. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Only one leper came back to Jesus, thanking him. This simple, humble act of giving glory to God for his healing power shows faith. True thankfulness is the act of faith that completes the healing from the disease of leprosy, a picture of all mankind's sinful condition. Sister Vicki Griffin will now read an excerpt from reprint 2722 that correlates with this lesson by our Lord.
Viewed from this standpoint, thankfulness of heart is a very sure sign of the character God is seeking, especially in matters pertaining to our great salvation. And we find parallels to this illustration all about us. We find those who have suffered from the leprosy of sin and who have appealed to Jesus for mercy and help, and who have been justified by faith, cleansed from their iniquities, covered with the righteousness of Christ. And yet, amongst all these who have experienced such blessings and favors at our Lord's hand, how few comparatively there are who return to him and prostrate themselves before him to offer thanks for release from the bondage of sin and condemnation and lay themselves at his feet, living sacrifices, making a full consecration of themselves to the Lord, their reasonable service. Only the truly thankful are constrained thus to do, only the truly appreciative. As the apostle declares of himself and all such, it is true that the love of Christ constraineth, draweth, impelleth us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, yea, worse than dead in trespasses and sins and condemnation, and that we who live, justified to life through faith in his blood, should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:14.
Thank you, Sister Vicki. This is such an important concept for Christians to understand. The love of Christ compels us, controls us even, that if one died for all, that if he died for all, then all that live because of him, that's us, should only live for him. Let us show our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Father and the healing that they have offered to us by singing praises to them for this blessing and the opportunity before us. We'll sing hymn 275, Sweet is the Work. Thank you. shall triumph in the Lord and bless his works, bless his word. And I shall share a glorious part when grace hath well refined my heart. Even now I see and hear and know more than I hoped for here below. Our responsibility to be grateful for the grace wherein we stand cannot be overstated. We've been blessed in ways we cannot count. We've been reckoned righteous through Jesus' sacrifice. Sister Sue Surrey will now read an excerpt for us from reprint 2076, reprint 2076.
But if others have cause for thanksgiving, how much more cause have those into whose hearts the light of knowledge of God, shining in the face of Jesus Christ our Lord, have shined? Those thus favored can rejoice and give thanks under all circumstance and conditions, in sickness, in death, in poverty's veil, or in comfort and health. Surely, thankfulness is a necessary ingredient to Christian living. It must be mixed with our song of praise and with our own prayers. It must fill our hearts to enable us to render faithful and efficient service to our Lord in any direction. It was this gratitude, thankfulness, which enabled brothers Paul and Silas to serve our Master so faithfully that they could sing praises and offer thanks for the privilege of suffering for Christ in the jail of Philippi. While their backs were smarting from the cruel lashes received as the cost of their discipleship. Moreover, the thankfulness of the true Christian must continue. Daily, hourly, its loss even for a moment should be deplored as an evident of spiritual sickness, and the afflicted should go to the leaves of healing in the divine word, that he may be refreshed in strength of love and zeal and realize afresh that the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live, now reckoned alive in Christ, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but in thankfulness unto him which died for them and rose again. Let the peace of God rule your hearts, and be ye thankful.
Thank you, Sister Sue. We again see the pastor quoting 2 Corinthians 5, in reference to living thankfully for the sacrifice that was made for us. Am I thankful? Are you thankful? Are we truly living in thankfulness? Are we showing the glory of God through our lives? Let us pray that we do in as many moments as possible. The use of music to express gratitude has long been popular. Last night at 6:30 p.m., aspiring musicians from all around the world were encouraged to play together outdoors from their own homes as part of Lift Your Voice, a project organized by Justin Blackwell's local high school music department to promote connectedness in the new normal of social distancing. These are Justin's recordings of Simple Gifts, a simple dance song written by Shaker elder Joseph Brackett in 1848, and the theme of last night's group event. ¶¶ you, Justin. Our thankfulness to the Lord should be a constant state of mind for us, ever active within our hearts. Sister Julie Vasilovich will now read for us a most appropriate poem found on reprint page 1295, reprint 1295.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalms 34, 1. All times with me are times of praise, or rayless nights, or radiant days. The summer bright, the winter drear, the tearful spring, the fading year, the stormy March, the tranquil June, through each my harp to praise I tune. The changeful seasons come and go, no pause my grateful song shall know. The love of God glows mid the embers, strewn on the hearth of life's Decembers, and gold is mingled with the gray of dim November's murkiest day. My bark on flowing seas may ride or strand, forsaken by the tide. There's no music, there's music for me in the flow, no less when ebbing waters go. If now the chorus louder swell, 'twas then a sweeter cadence fell. Major or minor be the tone, praise still shall be the theme alone. All places echo with my song, alone or in the hurrying throng. The placid lake, the billowy sea, shall hear and join the melody. In sunless rifts, on lofty steep, in desert vast, on ocean deep, in caverns dark, on golden heights, midst veiling mists or flashing lights, in God I live and am and move. I'll sing, for while I live, I love. Nor will I cease, though nature frown, though trees be bare and fields be brown, life pulsates underneath the sod. Love palpitates within the clod. God lives, though all the earth seem dead, though birds be mute and sunshine fled, the universe is vocal still. While down from heaven's holy hill come floating strains of music sweet to those who worship at his feet. Take down again thy dusty lute, and tune each slack discordant string. Never, ever let thy soul be mute. Lift up thy voice, exalting, sing. At all times, let the measure move, for know at all times, God is love.
Thank you, Sister Julie. You made it. That was a long poem. We'd like to close our service with the use of two scriptures. The first we'd like to read from the Weymouth New Testament, Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As therefore you have received the Christ, even Jesus our Lord, live and act in vital union with him, having the roots of your being firmly planted in him, and continually building yourselves up in him, and always being increasingly confirmed in the faith as you were taught it, and abounding in it with thanksgiving. Can there be any question what our attitude should be for this tremendous opportunity? As we have received the anointing, as we have received and learned the blessings of truth, as we have been forgiven and our sins covered for a greater purpose, there is no question, not a doubt, that we should be overflowing with gratitude and praise to our Heavenly Father. This will only increase our faith. We are surrounded by beauty, beauty in nature, beauty in God's arrangements, beauty in God's word, in his blessing, in his overwhelming loving kindness. Words can only start to express what we've been given. But thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The greatest gift ever given, we should be most humble and most grateful. and our lives should show it all the time. Thank you to our readers this afternoon, and thank you, brethren, for your service to one another in the name of Christ. We pray that you will find yourself living in a constant state of thanksgiving. Let's conclude our service and day of worship with the use of hymn 95, More Christlike. Sorry, one more time. Try that again.
How blessed, how glorious, how joyful to feel the love everlasting of sonship, a seal, the love that is perfect, the love that is pure, that we may with patience all things well endure. I want to feel humble, more simple, more mild, more like my blessed Master, and more like a child, more trustful, more thankful, more lovely in mind, more watchful, more
bow our heads in prayer. Almighty Father, hallowed be your name. We come before you as a body to thank you for the wonderful gifts that you've given to us, in particular the gift of your dear Son and the fellowship in him that we share. We are so thankful for the privileges that we've been granted, for the overrulings and the experiences in our lives that bring glory to your name, even if they're painful or joyous. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, for the privilege to be able to share these things with one another, to encourage one another, to polish one another, and to, in certain cases, test one another, that we might be more complete and that we might rely more on you and the Holy Spirit that you've promised us and you've given us. At this time, we take before you all those who are suffering and going through deep, difficult experience, whether it be in the flesh or whether it be in their hearts for someone else, or whether they need encouragement or healing. Dear Heavenly Father, please condescend to us through your Son. Give us more of your Spirit. Give us more reason in our hearts for joy and thanksgiving because we're dwelling in the Word and dwelling with one another and living only for the purpose that your Son so clearly set out before us. We are thankful for all those who've participated in the services this day, whether it be through their mouths and through their participation or through their preparation, or even if only through their heart. Please comfort and guide each one of us as we walk the narrow way and seek to make our calling and election sure through the gracious and precious path that your Son has laid for us. These things we do ask, putting all care and keeping into your Son's name, in which we pray. Amen.